is Ali Farokmanesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to The Hall Show on 1310 KFK.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Joining me now on our First Advantage hotline, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, again, another week has gone by, and we haven't heard much more out of the Pac-12, and that goes for the rest of college football as far as the big conference realignment stuff. I mean, Big 12, Pac-12 kind of making an interesting decision yesterday or a statement the other day. So kind of quiet, at least on that front.
Well, they made the announcement, did the two leagues, that they were not going to continue talking about merger. And I never really thought they'd merge,
yeah,
but they were having conversations. As a friend of mine once said here a short time, we were talking about this, he said, well, you have the conversations knowing full well you're not going to do it so that you can claim that you wanted to. Then you go out and start poaching teams from the other league. And so I wonder if that wasn't just a little bit of an exploratory thing, and now we'll wait and see what happens here. Now, there's somebody I know out of the Big 12 country this morning that dropped me a line that said things are getting kind of interesting. Mm. You might want to start breaking out the Big 12 gear that you had left over. So I don't know if that's true or not, but he's in the middle of everything on that end of it. And he seemed to think that there was going to be something coming down the pike here, so right around August 1st.
Wow, how about that? And again, you and I talked about this last week, and we sure think there's still a lot more news to come, a lot more shifting of teams to come before we start the season. And maybe we are talking about those Buffs still on that Big 12 side of things. Boy, wouldn't that be something?
Well, it'd be interesting. I mean, you're kind of going back home, if you will, for a school that was in the Big 7, Big 8, Big 12, And I think there's still a lot of tumblers that have to fall for that to happen. And again, this is me speculating. I know nothing internally. And somebody just dropped me a note this morning that, like I said, is in the middle of Big 10 or Big 12 country, rather, and said I'm getting some pretty strong indicators that maybe those four corner schools are going to jump. And so, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But it's not over. That's the one thing I'm positive about.
Either way you slice this one, Mark, and I guess if there is a decision for the Buffs, one way or the other, moving, if they do end up moving different conferences, whatever, either way you slice it, I know we've discussed this, but this season becomes so important to many teams. I was hearing Nick Saban talk about the haves and the have-nots. The have-nots are going to be struggling and going to be hurting. Well, obviously, teams that are in Power 5 conferences, they got to figure out a way to put their best foot forward coming up this season with Coach Carl Durrell. The Buffs need to get this thing right anyway, but now you're looking at saying if nothing happens before we get to the first game of the season, which we still think there might, you got to build that resume up now. There's no more screwing around. It's time to, I guess, prove your worth if you're going to be shifting conferences or if the Pac-12 stays, whatever. Either way you look at it, got to find a way to win some football games this year.
Well, yeah, and I think that's true overall. Now, from a broad perspective, it's like I told an intern of mine years ago when he was interning for the company, and he was real nervous about it. It wasn't in my department. It's another department. And he said, I'm going to go in for my interview. And I said, well, don't worry about your interview. And he said, what do you mean? I said, you've already interviewed. Okay?
Mm.
They already know you what you are. What you do in an interview now is not going to change anything. They've been watching you for the last 6 months that you've been an intern here. So I don't know that one season is going to do anything for anybody. Everybody knows what Colorado is. They know what Arizona and Arizona State are. They know what Utah is. And so one good season is not going to change that. I mean, that's like if I hang around with Brady Hall every day and for 6 months, and every day I say, that guy kind of stinks. He's got some BO problems, man.
Thank you.
All of a sudden you show up one day and you take a shower and you don't stink. Well, guess what? You stunk for 6 months. Just because you don't stink today doesn't mean you're not going to keep it up. I know what you are, right? So I think, listen, this program's got to start winning football games on a consistent basis, period. All right? It's been way too long. I've been here. This will be my 19th season coming up here. There have been one, two, three total winning – well, four if you count the truncated COVID season. Four winning seasons in 18 years, two with Gary Barnett and one with Mike McIntyre. That's it. And then Carl Durrell's 4-2 season, the short season, right? They went to a bowl game at 6-6 at one point in time and lost to Alabama under Dan Hawkins and ended up with a losing record. So you know, this program has got to do what it has done traditionally, and that's win football games and be in the middle of bowl conversation. When I got here, I'll never forget, Larry Zimmer, who was my predecessor, my partner for 12 years, once said to me, he said, Mark, there was a long period of time at the University of Colorado, you didn't talk about if you're going to a bowl game. It was like, what bowl game? How good's the game going to be? That's where this program needs to be, and that's what it needs to be known as again.
We're talking to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. And for the record, Mark, last time we hung out, you caught me on a day before my weekly shower. So to be fair, I did smell much better the next day. So, I mean, you caught me at a really bad time.
Well, all I know is you were stinky the day we were together. That's all I know.
Mark, my friend. Well, and that's the thing. Like, we've been really ramping up these talks about the conference realignment. Nothing changes with our conversations of when is enough enough? When can we get this Buffs team back to where, you know, bowl game is just a given. That's going to happen. Six wins, easy. Yep. Now let's start getting to the point where you're really making noise in the Pac-12 or whatever. And Carl Durrell, I love Carl Durrell. I mean, just getting a chance to get him on these programs. He's so well put together. I'm a big fan. But Mark, make no mistake, right? This year, is if it's not important for the Buffs as a whole as far as what the outlook looks like, it's certainly important for Coach Durrell.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, he came here to win. He talked about winning. The expectation is that he win. They go 4-2 the first year. They won four games last year then in a full season. You've got to get back, and this thing's got to – you've got to be seeing constant and consistent improvement, and the needle's got to be pointing in the right direction. I mean, that's all there is to it. Now, they've got a brutally tough schedule. I was on a national show yesterday, and the guy's like, holy crap, what a freaking conference slate. Yeah, I mean, you've got, you know, a top 25 team at TCU coming in. Then you go to Air Force, and that's always such a brutal game to prepare for and to play, of course. And then you got to go to Minnesota, who was a very good team last year. So, you know, then you jump into Pac-12 play. And so, you know, I understand. But listen, you know, if you're going to play big boy football, you got to play big boy football. And so don't complain about it. Go out and win football games and get this thing rolling. I do know the one thing they can't do is what they've done for the last, well, I've been here 18 years, just keep changing coaches all the time, okay? If Rick George believes that Carl Durrell is the guy and he's got what it takes and he understands it, on, then you continue to support that and continue to kind of push him along, if you will, and help him along. And so and that's the important thing, and that's a decision that Rick's got to make as he evaluates his thing. But if you're Carl Durrell, you got to start winning football games on a consistent basis. I mean, it's year number three, albeit after an odd start with the whole COVID thing. We understand that. But you got to continue to show market improvement every single season.
It's interesting, Mark, because, two or three years ago, whatever, you know, we were talking about all these new coaches and coaches on the hot seat. And I think one of my poll questions last year was of the four coaches that we really talk about, you know, Broncos, Buffs, Bears, Rams, who's going to survive the year? We lost two of them, Vic Fangio, Steve Adazio out at CSU. So, you know, I'm really hoping that we get some stability with all these coaches because, again, I maybe not Adazio as much, but I become a big fan of these guys and rooting for these guys. So, you know, you are rooting for Carl Durrell. He's one of those good guys, but it's a big year. Starts with that quarterback battle, right?
There's no doubt about that. And that's going to be paramount when they get camp underway. They report on August 1st. You've got Brandon Lewis coming back, who was the incumbent. The guy that started a year ago. Keep in mind, they had a very poor offense. Their quarterback play was not good. He's grown, you hope. He's matured, you hope. And you got J.T. Shrout, who we thought maybe was going to be the starter a year ago. He's back from the ACL surgery. And so that's going to be a huge competition. And listen, I'm not breaking any great news here. In the game of football, the way it's played in 2022 and the way the game has been altered, that position, you have to find that guy. And, you know, they've got a deep quarterback room. They got the cop kid who transferred in from Houston. And so there's depth there. And they've got some options. So I hope they make the right decision. Whoever it's going to be is going to start there. I hope plays well. Because I said it last year. If they had – remember, they were one of the worst offenses in America. If they had just average play on the offensive side of the quarterback position, they go to a bowl game. They won four games. They nearly beat a top-five team in the country in Texas A&M. What if they had any offense? So if they get just a little bit of offense and keep the defense even where it was a year ago in special teams, you know, that's a bowl football team you're talking about. That's where they've got to be.
Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Buffs. Mark, before we let you go, obviously very, very tough news this week when we get the news of Charles Johnson, stud wide receiver for the Buffs, first-round pick for the Steelers, died at the young age of 50. And, man, I know the Buffs family just really hurting this whole week.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, there's two Charles Johnsons in Colorado history. One's the quarterback that was the MVP, of course, in the Orange Bowl. for the national championship team. But he's a dear friend of mine, a guy I've worked with many times, many years on the air. The other CJ, if you will, Charles E. Johnson. I can't say that I knew Charles very well. We'd certainly been around each other, and as a former player, I got to know him. Obviously, he was long gone before I got here. But anybody that ever dealt with that CJ always talked about, you know, what a wonderful human being he was. You know, he's working in high school athletics and was really making an impact in that regard. And so, yeah, for a guy, listen, he was 50 years old. I'm 54. So when that kind of stuff starts happening, it hit close to home for everybody. So you feel awful for his family. You're very, you know, saddened by it. And certainly that's something we'll address when the games are underway and we're doing the broadcast. We'll talk about some CJ moments and some of the great things that he did, because he had a wonderful NFL career as well. And then it hits a little close to home for anybody in that same age bracket, no doubt about it. But that's an awful young man to pass away, and we're all sad in the Buff Nation, I can tell you that.
No question about it, and that's the thing. You know, you watch your guys in school and college, and then you follow them after that, well after that. So, you know, certainly a tough week for all Colorado Buffaloes fans, for football fans, to be honest with you. Mark, always appreciate your insight, my friend, and we're getting closer. We're getting closer to more X's and O's talk, and we'll see if something changes on the conference realignment side. By the time we talk, I keep thinking something big's going to happen next time we talk to you. So maybe next Wednesday we'll have news.
Well, I was going to say it may be. However, I'm leaving on Friday for my 100-mile wilderness horseback ride. I'm not going to be back till next Friday. So chances are, you know, Murphy's Law, it's going to break all when I'm out of town and totally out of cell signal for an entire week. And so by the time I get back and you and I talk again the following week, maybe it's going to be old news by then. I hope not, because I'd like to be around when it all comes down.
We'll try to give you a call on the horse, Mark. If we don't get through, we don't get through. But it would be pretty awesome to have that interview. I would just absolutely love that. So we'll see.
Well, if it does come down, give me a holler. And if I answer, you know, I'll be standing on top of a mountain down your creek, Colorado, with about 100 other guys, and we'll have a conversation about it.
All right, Mark. Have fun, man. Be safe. Take care of yourself, and we'll talk soon.
All right, ready. Take care.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Yeah, sad week. Charles Johnson, as Mark mentioned, very, very important to clarify that. There's two CJs. The other CJ, the other Charles Johnson, you've heard him on the radio waves in Denver and such, too. This Charles Johnson was a stud wide receiver for the Buffs and a stud wide receiver for the Steelers. 12:51 the time. We'll take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to wrap up hour number one. We got today in the NFL. Who's got the best cornerback group in the AFC? FC West. We'll get to that. UNC Bears defensive side of the ball might be carrying this group. We'll talk to color commentator for the Bears, Aaron Rath, coming up in the second hour as well. Plenty to talk about. Little time to do it. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studios. We are Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
.12:56. Welcome back, man. We just busted through that first hour. We had Tanner Schwint, co-host of Good Morning NoCo. Tanner, Brian, Gary, they do a wonderful job on that show. We got big news coming up August 1st, man. If you like live and local content, 6 o'clock to 2 o'clock, we're going all local. 6 a.m. to 10 will be Good Morning NoCo. 10 a.m. to 11, Clark and the Coach moving back an hour. And then we're jumping on an extra hour. We'll be on 11 to 2 o'clock. There's so much going on. There's so much to cover. Look at us right now. It's 12:57. I haven't even touched my script today. I haven't even gone over some of the key bullet points. We got our poll question. Colorado State picked in the Mountain West media poll to finish fourth. Higher or lower, or is that about right? When you're looking at, you know, it's what, Air Force, Utah State, Boise State pick number one, Hank Bachmeier coming back. So we're going to talk about that, get into the Mountain West Conference a little bit more. And we'll talk, we got UNC Bears. I mean, this is, it's time. It's time to rejuvenate this thing. And maybe they're going to be following the defense on the defensive side of the ball. Aaron Rath will join me from UNC Bears color commentary. We'll talk all about it more next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. 5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. And, well, listen, the All-Star game, I mean, it was fun. It was entertaining. Some good highlights. We got to hear from a guy. Big Poppy was the best part about it, in my honest opinion. But here's a little bit from the sounds of last night's All-Star game.
2-0 on Goldschmidt. He's better than ever. I mean, if you're handing out an MVP for the first half, it'd probably be him. That ball is crushed to left center field. Paul Goldschmidt hits it out. 2-0 National League.
Stanton and Judge have stayed healthy, and the numbers together are putting up 50-some-plus home runs.
That ball is hammered to left center field. Goodbye. Two-run shot. Tie game.
Byron Buxton tattoos this ball to left field. And this one is out of here.
His 1-2 pitch to Jay Cronenworth. Got him. Classe strikes out the side in the ninth inning. And the American League wins the All-Star game for the ninth consecutive season.
All right, there it is, ninth consecutive season. Tanner Schwentz joining us in studio, one of the hosts of Good Morning NoCo.
Whoa. A big crowd.
Yeah, they really like you, yeah, man. They really like you. You're doing a great job with that show, so they like it.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was the first one of those All-Star games of any sport that I sat down and watched the entire thing through.
It was kind of fun, wasn't it?
They did a really good job. I think MLB did a really good job. We were talking a little bit off air. I think that the way that the MLB highlighted and started marketing some of their players last night, more people know who Alek Manoah is today than they did before the game last night, if they watched any of it. You know, him talking. Liam Hendricks is always an eccentric pitcher. He likes to cuss a lot after he misses the strike zone, but they just did a really good job with it. And the
you
game,
like the cussing, you like
the,
that.
The game was really well played as well. I mean, that first double play that they turned, I mean, yeah, it was well done. I had the under last night. That hit, okay, but not the NL. Okay. I had the NL on the under.
All right, you're just going right at it. I love that one of your key points was a dude cussing in the game.
Well, so. Normally he is. Normally he's very, he's one of those, you know, like Carmelo Anthony, every time he grabbed the rebound, get the out of here. Mm-hmm. This guy, every time he misses, yells the F word normally when he pitches.
Okay.
And I was intrigued to see if they did put the mic on him, and they did, and he refrained. So well done by Liam Hendricks.
Good job by him. All-Star games are not anything in comparison to what the real thing is. To me, and again, Jaden's going to argue with me on this, because now there's a lot of talk about everything that you just mentioned. Is that what baseball needs? Is that kind of stuff where we're miking players up on a regular basis? I mean, they do mic NFL players up inside of a regular season game, but it's not like we're hearing it live. They go back and they recut and stuff. Do we need to be miking up the players more on a regular basis, hearing from the guys in the dugout? I mean, there's a case to be made. Now, I'm not a traditionalist as far as like rule changes and stuff like that. I'm okay with bending. But I do want to get, I get a little worried when we start talking gimmicks a little bit.
Yeah, well, and it's a little bit, I don't think, if you're going to do this on a regular basis, I don't think you should come anywhere close to.
You can't mic up a pitcher live.
No, you can't have the broadcasters talking to him. But would I love to see, you know, Airman Marquez next time he's out there pitching, after the first two innings, come back and hear those conversations. What's he talking with Brian Servin about? What's he talking with Elias Diaz about?
I tend to agree, because what do we see with pitchers? Freeland freaked out in the dugout the other day, but we don't really see emotion.
Right.
We don't see, you know, I know you're giving my boy Russell Wilson a hard time because of his tweets and, you know, the way he's Mr. Unlimited and all that stuff. You could argue that till you're blue in the face, but there's personality there.
Yeah.
Marquez, I mean, you don't really hear this guy. You don't hear him talk much. You don't see excitement coming from these guys. So baseball won last night, but Do they sit back and start watching this now going, we need to figure out, without being too gimmicky, ways to incorporate this kind of stuff into our regular games?
I think so, because we've talked a lot about this. You watch or listen to a lot of baseball broadcasts. You know, there's a lot of stats. There's so many analytics that go in there. But game plan-wise, it never gets the focus that it needs.
What's Bud Black writing down all the time?
Well, and a lot of that is going to be those analytics. But you look at it, you're coming up to bat. Okay, this guy, you know, he's facing Airman. Airman throws a lot of first-pitch fastballs. Okay, you know, if you can hear that batter sitting there, there saying, okay, it's high and inside, got to be fastball. Like, how are they attacking each other? Because you know the battle's going on, but we always look at it from an analytical standpoint, not a game plan standpoint.
Did you watch any of, what is it, USFL? Was that what it was? Or what is it
I
called?
Didn't, yeah,
I watched
is,
the championship game. Again, I'm starving for football, so I'm like, I'll watch this. This isn't very good, but whatever. You can hear them call the plays into the huddle. Like, you can hear the coach say, wide right, banana, hoota.
See, and I don't like that, because I think at the highest level for football,
I don't like it.
They're gonna catch on to that. And football is so action-packed the way that it is.
You don't need the gimmicks. You don't need it with basketball. No. You don't need it with football. You don't need it with hockey.
No. Baseball's
so slow. I mean, hell, dude. Who was it that I was giving you crap for is up there playing tic-tac-toe the other day? And I'm like, the only sport in professionals, in the big four that we talk about here, is the only sport that can allow pitchers to walk up to the mound, and before they go pitch, they go, all right, X here. No other. You're not going to see Russell Wilson do that in the grass before he leaves.
No.
Except for Josh Allen.
Baseball needs to broadcast that, and they need to take advantage of that and accept it. It's kind of like, well, I won't make that comparison, but, you know, they own who you are is what I'm trying to say. There's a lot of boring parts of baseball. Own it.
There's a lot of downtime.
And try and fill that in. Like when we saw J-Rod, Julio Rodriguez, out in center field, you know, he's talking, he's mid-sentence, a ball's hit to him. Well, like that I like.
Charlie was mic'd up, 4 or 5 years ago when he was in the All-Star game. And, you know, they're talking, they're interviewing. The pitcher thing was funny for the All-Star
game. Yes.
You know, like, I kind of like, hey, check this out, gang.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see that. That was kind of fun. That's why the Major League Baseball All-Star game is by far better, because it lends itself to that.
Yeah.
You can't – the Pro Bowl –
shouldn't even be played.
Even though they're not playing defense, they're not really to the point where they're totally losing focus and just talking on the camera during a play, because you could get hurt doing
this. Yes.
They still wear pads. You could still get hurt. Baseball, you still have to play, but you could also, in between, you can still lose your focus, I guess, momentarily.
No, that's exactly right. Listen, I was talking with Jerry Schimmel and Drew Goodman the other day on Rocky's Rundown, and this isn't anything new, but Drew Goodman said that he doesn't think the Pro Bowl should be played at all. I really don't think it should.
But I agree that it's a crappy game, but you're going to tell me that I'm going to lose money? I'm not going to lose money. If I'm the NFL, I'm saying, you know, I'll tell you where to go with that, because as long as I'm showing a profit, I ain't not carrying that game.
Right. And I'll be interesting to see what the ratings were of the All-Star game last night. Like you said, baseball won last night.
I wonder if it was one of their best.
We talked about it more.
The advertising we're starting to see a little
Queen
bit
stuff.
More. The Dairy Queen stuff.
I went to Dairy Queen and got one of those blizzards yesterday, by the way.
But you are seeing this. I don't know if the marketing team is revving it up a little bit, but you are seeing it. Yes, Jade.
Can you guys guess what the all-time record is for AL versus NL?
Oh, I have no idea.
The NL, no.
Oh, I could care less about who wins the game.
No, but betting now makes... And the All-Star game the All-Star game for baseball, because there's nothing else going on.
What's the record?
It's got to be close. AL's got to be up, but it's got to be close.
AL's been winning, like, what, 9 in a row?
But in the 80s, like, the NL was winning a ton. What's the record?
The AL's won the last 27 of 34.
Right.
But the all-time record is 47... The AL is 47, 43, and 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so you're right. For betting purposes, sure. But they're all having fun out there, man. I mean,
you didn't like, if that game would have got tied up in the bottom of the ninth, you didn't like that. Oh, I loved it. I loved that gimmicky stuff for that.
I don't. Okay.
In a game that has no bearing on anything.
I don't drool over home runs, though. I just don't. Give me a Randall Grichuk going up for a home run saving catch. I love when you get to the wall and it's some kind of acrobatic Spider-Man stuff. That's my favorite play in baseball. I also love seeing a pitcher dominate. You know, I'm a defensive guy, though.
Yeah.
I like defensive, cool-looking plays. I get that your audience is home run, and I also understand that with football.
Yeah.
That's why we've changed the game to help the offense so much. But
nothing turns my head quicker than the crack of the bat. That home run that Paul Goldschmidt hit.
I mean, if it's my team and you're down two and you got, you know, you hit a home run to end it, yes, like, that's all exciting stuff. But if you just point-blank said, what's your favorite play In baseball.
Right.
Home run, it's, you know, it's hitting a ball into the stand.
Right.
It's cool, but I like seeing defensive amazing.
And that's not necessary. I mean, overall in baseball, listen, there's nothing better for me than a shortstop going back to his backhand and getting to first base on that jump throw.
I like the bare hand.
The one that Tulo, you know, the throw. Yeah, that is fantastic. Great double play turn there. But, you know, like Alec Manoah, I think you guys will play this clip later, but Alec Manoah, when he was talking to John Smoltz, an all-time great pitcher, he just asked him, he goes, how do you want me to strike this guy out here? And he goes, oh, you're sexy, Smolty. And then he throws a slider that ends up hitting the guy, which was kind of funny.
Good.
But that's what it's the MLB All-Star Game outdid the Home Run Derby by quite a lot for me.
Well,
I was not blown away by the Home Run Derby.
The Home Run Derby to me, and again, I talked about this yesterday. I don't know how you fix it, but I got to have a better camera angle.
Yes.
I got to know when I'm seeing a home run. If I don't know, then it's like, oh, he hit it deep. And then 10 seconds later, they go, ooh, there's one.
Yep.
It's like, if I don't see it happening, is it really happening? So I don't know what you do there. I know that that's pretty much the only angle you can get, but I would much rather see.
Slow down the amount of pitches that they're given, right? Give them more time in between. Have a countdown. Okay, you got 5 seconds to throw a pitch. When that's done, you got 3 seconds to reset. Let the camera angle get back, and then get back to it. It's the only thing that I thought. But I thought baseball won yesterday, and that's a rare victory for Rob Manfred and baseball. They did a good job with that MLB All-Star.
Is this Rob Manfred seeing the error of his ways and trying to learn how to market this game more? Because the youth, I mean, you know, we talk, Jade's your baseball guy, but you're a young guy. You're totally in on what you saw yesterday. I mean, you were like, hey, let's try to incorporate some of that into the regular season game.
Yeah, I'm all for the growth of the game. I mean, there's no sense in staying in old pastimes that are dying.
Well, and again, you talked about stats. Like, that's what baseball's all about.
Right.
We like fantasy, we do, but you know, we still like excitement. How am I going to get Jaden to sit down for 4 hours and watch a game? Football, I don't have to try to convince you. I mean, you love football. Your grandma loves football, and she couldn't name a quarterback, the starting quarterback for the Broncos, right?
Yeah.
But
no,
the game, it's still there.
There's some truth to what Jaden's saying about some of the old heads out there that say, yeah, well, we got to preserve this. But the perfect example, listen, our poll question yesterday on Good Morning NoCo was, what's one sports record that will never be broken? And by far, there's two that will never be touched, and they're both owned by Cy Young. It's the number of the number of victories that he had, 511 victories, or 700 and some complete games. The days of that is over. So when you talk about Rob Manfred, I don't know if he's making the game better. Rob Manfred's never been, you never question his marketing of the game, but the actual baseball game itself, Manfred doesn't know anything about.
But see, what you just said is a problem, that so many records, like baseball's probably going to win most of these arguments as far as records that won't be
broken. Because it's been around since 1876.
That's not exciting.
Right.
What's exciting? We did a segment last week, NFL Record Watch. On any given year, there's like 20 records that are potentially going to be broke because they've changed the game so much. Dan Marino, maybe just as good as Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and those guys, but he didn't have the adjustments to the game, so you are seeing records being shattered, and we like that as a fan base. We like to see records go down.
But this is a problem the NFL, I firmly believe, is going to face at some point. They've changed the game to tailor it towards the offensive side of the ball. What happens when all these records do keep getting broken, and eventually we're going to be like, we're tired of seeing all these points scored.
Then you change it back.
So you revoke some of those rules and say, okay, go smash each other in the mouth.
You start tightening it up a little bit. Number one for me is you start letting cornerbacks and safeties bump through, you know, throughout the process. Now they have to stop after 5 yards. When I was in college, they were just changing that rule up, and it was like that really hurt guys like Brian Dawkins and physical cornerbacks. I love watching physical cornerbacks play.
Sure.
We have taken physicality out of that, and it's more finesse. It's guarding zones and things like that.
But the reason they made those changes was, number one, you know, player safety, but number two,
ratings.
And
so guys throw the ball.
You're not going to go back and turn your back on the ratings unless it starts hurting. But even then you're putting more of a boring product out there. Baseball is plagued because they've been around for so long. We've got so many history books out there. There's so many stats and things like that out there that baseball has a hard time changing the game and saying, okay, well, let's adapt to this. It was a home run or strikeout. That's the era that we're in right now. But I think baseball's hurting themselves by getting rid of the shift, too, starting next year.
Yeah, that's you keep taking strategy out of the game.
Hey, the defense can't run a cover two against this quarterback.
Because you always watch managers and you're like, okay, I'm not taking anything away from a baseball manager, but how much are you managing throughout the game? The shift is part of that. You start taking away some of these things that you want your manager to try to figure out and film study and all that. Yeah. You know, you lose a lot. So I hate that they're going to
take that away. Me too. And during the regular season, I don't think you see the managers do a whole lot of, you know, in-game adjustments and stuff like that. We saw Sunday when the Rockies were playing the Pirates. I mean, Bud Black was coaching that thing, managing that thing like it was game 7 of a playoff series. In the fourth inning, after Sam Hilliard has one at bat, he pulls and puts Connor Joe in.
Yeah.
Like, you see the managers make a more of a role in the playoffs, for sure.
All right, I want to keep you in here, because you got a big night tonight that I want to talk about. We also got some big news with Good Morning NoCo that I want to hit. But Jades, we got to get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. And the good for me is, regardless of whether or not we use this for regular season stuff down the road, the good was the All-Star game. It was the marketing surrounding the All-Star game. And I agree with you. It did kind of start with hearing the pitchers mic'd up a little bit.
What do you want me to do it on, though?
John?
John, what do you want?
Back foot slider, down and low.
Oh, you're sussy. Here we go. Right down the middle, but we'll take it. Three punches. Let's go.
This guy right here. This guy was saying what he was going to throw. How about that?
Hey, that's what you got to do. You got to talk it into existence, right?
How do you pitch me?
How do I pitch you?
Yeah.
I'm probably coming a little high and tight, get you off the plate. Probably this.
Man, I'll take you deep. I'm out of here.
Oh, we're playing charades the whole time. If we ain't playing rock, paper, scissors, we're trying to see what the pitcher's going to throw and you know, making fun of each other, you know, trying to keep it light out there.
Yeah, we're busy. We stay busy. You know? We're trying to predict, you know, how many crazy warm-ups, you know, Nestor Cortez is going to do.
Just being blind, man. Just look at how I just sat here. Like, look at this. This environment, it's been very fun just being around everybody out here. It's amazing. It's surreal.
I mean, like we
fantastic.
Said, baseball was great. Big Poppy, dude. I could see him go down to the dugout. Half the guys, I don't even think he knew. He's like, this guy over here is doing fantastic. All right, see you later, man. The bad for me is today. Today, we have no game. Unless, Jades, you know, your WNBA games are going on. Ain't nobody watching that. I'm sorry. And it's not sexist because I'm viewing the ratings. So that's bad. We're not getting great action tonight. I'm sorry. The ugly is tomorrow. It's the same freaking thing, bro. I'm looking at it going, this sucks. These are the worst 2 days in sports. But we have a lot to talk about. But I always like having some kind of a game, at least, to look forward to.
I thought the ugly was going to be your over-prediction.
No, that didn't happen.
Oh.
It was deleted off of Twitter. If you take it off of Twitter, it was never said. I did take the over. I thought I had in the fourth inning. I'm like rolling with
it. I saw the tweet that thought you had it.
There we go. That's the good, the bad, the ugly. Not very creative on July 20th, but
this is the
I know
days,
you're a big
man.
WNBA guy, yeah. So you're at least in seventh heaven.
I was... Yeah. No, my...
Can you name three teams?
The Mercury.
Uh-huh.
The...
you're getting there. Star.
The Stars. Right?
I don't know.
I think there's the
probably.
Stars.
Is there a star? Isn't there
Mercury,
a...
Mercury, the Stars, and what's the... You know, that other one.
The Blazers.
Do you know three?
Sparks? Jake? Is the Sparks
the
one?
The Sparks are one. I don't think the Stars are one, though.
That's a hockey what is, team. And
what does...
Does Colorado even have a team?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Who does... Come on, Jades. Who does Becky Hammon coach? Vegas.
Spurs.
Something. No. She's... No. W-N-B-A.
I listen. It's not... you know what? It's women's sports, dude. When the Olympics goes on,
Storm in the sky.
There you go. Storm
they
in the sky.
Played last night. We got
Storm
Liberty.
In the sky. Oh, wow.
We got Liberty against the Mystics. Liberty's 9-16 on the year. They're playing playing tomorrow morning.
Oh, nothing's going on tonight?
We got one. It's the Storm. No. What is today?
Today's Wednesday.
July 20th. Yeah, they played already. Sorry you missed it.
So that's it. We have nothing. Can you stay in for another segment? I need to take a break. 24 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Elo Communications Studios. Big news coming up for Good Morning NoCo. And the team tonight, you guys are not done yet. You've been all over the place. We're going to talk about that next. It's the whole show. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You need before making that pick.
Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
I'm not a big Wudoku guy.
Nobody is. It's not Wordle.
Oh, it's like that's not the same thing?
It's a Sudoku.
What do you do? What do you do?
You just try and do this stuff on there. Yeah, that wasn't for on-air purposes.
What is it? What is it? Is it something bad?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it's like Sudoku. It's like, oh. I don't know, it's just a little stress reliever that I use when
I thought it was like something bad. Oh, you didn't want to talk about it on the air.
In Tanner's defense, my mom and I always play it too.
Nice. All right. I appreciate it.
Wudoku? Yeah, Wudoku?
I didn't know it was that big, but that was Eddie Money, right? When we came back in?
Correct.
Correct on saying that?
Yes.
Did you hear the show this morning?
I did. I hear. Walking my favorite sunshine. Part of Good Morning NoCo is hearing you struggle with most of the band names.
I've never had this issue before.
You had another one get wrong. It was a while ago.
What, really?
I don't remember what it was.
Oh, Walking on Sunshine came on, and I'm like, Casey and the Sunshine Band. And
I honestly didn't know who that was either.
I said it, but the issue is, like, normally when I'm not feeling positive about it, I won't blurt it out. And we got Brian Gary, who knows everything about music. And I came with it. I came strong with it.
You were, like, very confident.
I felt like such an idiot.
Good Morning NoCo, 6 to 9 o'clock. You and Brian are absolutely killing it. You've been everywhere. You're golfing all the time. You're judging the Weld County Dancing with the Stars tonight. I did it last year, and I'm a little COVID-ed, so I'm still staying away from people, except for you guys.
You'll just give it to me, and then I'll go out there.
I'm not contagious anymore, okay?
No, you're not. Your voice just isn't recovering.
You might want to get yourself checked, just in case. But a big news coming up. In about a week and a half.
Yeah.
Good Morning NoCo. You guys are adding another hour.
We are. We're going to. I told you that was the only way that I would add another hour. I wasn't getting up any earlier.
You want to go the back way?
No, I was not.
Yeah.
No, I was not
going there.
So I was. I said, let's go 10 o'clock if that works, and away we go. But we've been so lucky, just like on this program for years, Brady. I mean, the sponsors, the local sponsors out there that make it happen, the people who chime in on the text line, who be a part of the show, and we're filling up. The community of KFK is getting bigger and bigger, and we're going to be live and local from 6 a.m. till 2 p.m. every single day, which is something that none of those corporate radio stations can say they're doing. This is local stuff that's going to matter to you. We're going to have a lot of laughs along the way. We're going to bring you the news. We're going to talk sports. Of course, football season. That's what's so nice. Angel Padilla, our producer, Brian and myself, we're all football guys. So we're going to be able to sit there and, hell, we could cook, for 4 hours talk football. But we'll get to all the other news regarding the community. And we got great segments coming up starting in August with United Way of Weld County every single week where we're going to highlight what they're doing. You know, we had Amelia on with the Arc of Weld County this morning. Great event that they have coming up Saturday for individuals with disabilities at Discovery Bay, 6:30 to 8:30. You've heard Brady talking about it. But it's just that type of stuff that I love. That's what NoCo Now was founded out of. That we'll tackle the serious stuff, but we're going to have a lot of laughs along the way as well.
You guys have found a perfect combination there, too. And you and Brian are just, again, a great team. And with Angel running the show, trying to keep you guys on track. You get your weather, you get your news, your sports. I mean, it's the perfect combo that I just don't think a lot of stations have been able to capture.
No, and we were talking about it this morning. This was something that I had never told Brian until we were on air this morning. When we were talking about it, I mean, that was originally supposed to be a two-hour show from 7 to 9. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, okay, Brian's going to join in. We'll go 6 to 9, but I'm not coming until 7. It got into a jumbled mess. And Brian goes, what kind of a madman assembled this? And I said, well, that would be Brady Hull. And I said, I'll be honest, the first time you said, hey, what about Brian and you in the morning? I'm like, I don't think that's going to work because I was so serious and talking about the news and the politics and that stuff. And Brian was, hey, what's your top 10 chicken sandwiches? And how is that going to mesh?
Yeah,
and
it's meshed that together, man.
So well. Yeah, it's been so much fun.
It's a lot of fun. I love listening to it on the way in. Best morning show. And for my money, the best morning show in the state. So
I appreciate
congratulations to you guys adding another hour.
Clark
and the coach will be going at 10 o'clock, and then I'll be going 11 to 2 o'clock. So we're going to have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Well, football season is going to be so big up here for everybody. And yeah, like we were talking this morning. I haven't officially decided if I'm watching this, if I'm actually feeling it, or if I was just irritated. But Russell Wilson's kind of been getting on my nerves lately with all
you
the...
You don't like the whole Mr. Unlimited, and I'm dialed in, and yeah.
It feels just gimmicky. Like, it's like, okay, we get it. You're an absolute beast.
Well,
but,
you got rid of Drew Lock. I tried to give you Drew Lock, and you guys, you know, poo-pooed that.
What did I say? I'll deal with Russell Wilson being a cornball because he's good at football. At least Russell Wilson's good on the field where
that's
it matters.
True. We'll see what Drew Lock does this year. Seattle has no interest
fall
in quarterbacks.
Right on his face.
All right, 6 a.m. to 9 for now, but 6 a.m. to 10 starting August 1st. Good morning, NoCo. You guys are going to have fun tonight. We're looking forward to hearing about your judging Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, I'm going to be Simon Cowell. I've cleared it with four people, so I'm going to be the critical one out there tonight. But thank you for having me on this afternoon.
All right, man. Appreciate you. Mark Johnson coming up next. Speaking of football, where's the Pac-12 at this point? Can we start talking X's and O's? That quarterback position is of uber importance for the Colorado Buffaloes and Carl Durrell. We'll get to Mark next. 35 after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.